I think it's amazing how God moves in everything, in every way. And I don't know why we're continually surprised by it, but it's always surprising to me. I'm like, hey, I had something like that. And last week, I'm like, hey, that's something about what you put in my heart. And I think I was talking to Mom about it. And she's like, isn't that weird that that happens, that it lines up that way? And I said, well, if this is what's on God's heart, and God has things that God's heart is in us, then wouldn't it make sense that the things that he's put in our heart is what's on his heart, and it all lines up? So we shouldn't really be shocked that everything lines up. If it's not lining up, that's probably where we should be a little bit more aware. But I'm still amazed by it. So when you mentioned Kim Clement, so 1990, I was 7 years old, and he actually had a prophecy. So when he went home to the Lord, it was sad, because I remember he had a very impactful, he impacted my life. And I'm reminded of a prophecy that he said to me. And even now, as I'm sitting here, I'm like, God, but that's not in my notes. I don't want to do that. And he's like, no, just bring this up because it's powerful. He had prophesied over me. So it was 1990 when he came. Yeah, so 7 years old, that was 28 years ago. He prophesied over me. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And I set you apart as a prophetess to the nations. And when he said that, I was like, okay, you know, 7 years old, I don't know what you'd do with that. But over the years, I've read it, I've reread it. And I've never understood what that meant, prophetess, that's a gifting. And when he said that, I said, all right, God, that's... You move in that way. Do that, I guess. And I realize as we're sitting here, it doesn't have to be about numbers. I have a teaching. I have something that God's given me. But I said, God, I want to move in prophecy again. I want to move in things that you have for me. Because I don't think I'm a great teacher. I don't think I have, I don't know. That's just, I don't feel that's my calling. I hope that you're blessed by a teaching that I have. But I really want to move in prophecy. And he said, well, look right now, look out to the nations. He said, you have Ireland, you have England, you have Holland here. I have my two cousins from Holland. So we have Italy. We have the nations here. They don't have to go to the nations to prophesy. So I'm going to open up in prayer. But, you know, God, I'm going to take that power and say, you know, I'm going to prophesy to the nations today. Wherever you're from, wherever you come from, wherever your background is, this is where he's put you. He's put you in this church, in this family. And this is our nation. This is his church, his body that he's building, that he's developing, that he's alive in. So I just open a prayer. God, Holy Spirit, we don't have to invite you to come because you're already here. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to move, to use us as vessels, to use me as a vessel, Father God, that the things that you have put on my heart, that they'd be the things that are in your heart, that the words that you place in my mouth would be your words. That they would have anointing on them, not for anyone's glory, but for your glory, Jesus. That they would edify the body, that they would glorify you, that you would be glorified in everything we do, Jesus. So I just give you this teaching. I give you this morning. I give you everything that I have, God, everything that is prepared and that is not prepared. And I just say, have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. So there's a back end to my teaching. I walk around because I don't like to stand still. So Ben asked me if I wanted a handheld mic, if I wanted the hands free. I'm like, I need hands free. I need to talk with my hands. So Pastor asked me a couple months ago if there was anything on my heart. And there's the back end story of where I titled this teaching from comes from where I was sitting that day. I was in the NICU with Jordan. And the back end of the teaching story is he had asked me, do you have anything on your heart? And the quick history, so Jordan was born 8 weeks early, so we spent the first month of her life in the NICU. So October 31st, it was Halloween, and I had gone in just for a regular 32-week checkup. And checkup had turned to my blood pressure needed to be monitored, turned to observation, turned to induction, turned to C-section, turned to Jordan. That's the long story short. Where the teaching came from was how God uses every situation to speak to you, to develop you, to grow you, to move in you. And I was there for the first day for observation for my blood pressure. And 32 weeks, you're supposed to go 40 weeks full term, so 32 weeks, they say, we're going to keep you in the hospital, we're going to observe you, just make sure everything's okay. And I've never done a hospital stay. I've never done any of this stuff. So this was not my plan at all. I had plans to go back to work. I had plans to have my parents over for dinner that night. We had November and December in the office still to do. So there was things that had to get done. And so they said, "Let me, you know, can we keep you for observation overnight?" They didn't ask me, they told me. So I had to stay, and Greg wouldn't have let me leave. Either I was like, I'm going to go home, and, you know, this warring spirit came on me. And I don't want to deter people from the warring spirit, because there's power in there, but sometimes God will wait for you to put up your fight. He's like, okay, I'm waiting here, I have other plans, but I'm not going to interfere with what you obviously want to do first, so let me know when you're done. And so I sat through that first day, and I put my warring hat on, and I found scripture, and, you know, I spoke over her blood type, and I said, change it to the blood type of Jesus, and I got my prayer warriors together, and there's nothing wrong with that. It was powerful. I love that I had people to call on to pray, and I wanted to come home, and, you know, God, this pregnancy is going to go full term, and I'm going to fight, I'm fighting against everything here, God, you know, you said, and he never said any of that stuff, but it, I can put those words into his mouth and say, you said this. And so so that Wednesday night, I'm laying there and I'm in the hospital bed, and Greg has a cot next to me and he's sleeping, and I'm sitting there and I'm finding songs to listen to. I'm fighting, like, God, you know, the blood pressure's gonna go down, and the baby's fine and everything's great. And these are all truths, everything's great. So the song came on, well, coming in my mind, he left the 99 for the one. And he's like, Erica, I just want some one-on-one time. Can you just stop? Can you calm down? Can you just lay it down? And can I have some one-on-one time? And I said, well, I'm here. It's one-on-one time. What do you want? And he's like, you need to just stop. Just stop. Just come away with me, because I want some one-on-one time with you. And I broke. I came to an end of, all right, I don't know what I'm supposed to go, what direction, where I'm supposed to head with this, but if you want one-on-one time, I guess that's what you're looking for. You're looking for one-on-one time with me. And so in that hospital room, he brought me from this wherever place, this Erica place, into I just want some one-on-one time with you. And I feel that is the word that he went strong with, that there was a truth in that that says, I did leave the 99. I left them for some one-on-one time, and I have to put my title on here because that's what teachings have, they have titles, but it was about a perspective that he had to change up for me, that it wasn't the lack of warring or the lack of prayers or things that needed to happen in me that I wasn't doing right. He wanted to call me away for some one-on-one time, and that changed my perspective. I loved how the past couple months between Josh taught on perspective a couple months ago, about how our perspective about how God is, what he does, is different for everybody. And Pastor taught on the points, you know, you worry too much, things that God's saying to us. They're just different perspectives. To tell this entire congregation you worry too much would be 100 different perspectives of what worry looks like. Some people are worried about health, some people are worried about finances, some people are worried about family, relationships. It's not specific to just you worry, blankets, yes, you worry too much, but it's specific to each individual. Greg, my husband, had a vision a couple weeks ago on red ribbons coming down and signifying the blood of Jesus and covering them. He specifically said that they were all individually cut. So they were the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus had come down. It covers us, but they were individual for each person's situation. So he knew that Taylor needed to have the blood covered in a certain way. He knew that Andre needed the blood covered in a certain way. He knew that Jeff needed the blood covered in a certain way. It wasn't just stopped at, yes, the blood covers it, but he had it specifically for each of us. And that changes the perspective. It changes the perspective of how we see Jesus. When he leaves the 99 for the one, it's that one-on-one time. It's that individually cut, this is why I did it. This is what it's for. This is who it's for. This is what your situation is for. This is what you need it for. And even when Mike taught last week on significance, I loved that the past teachings, they just started popping up. Yep, this is what, I'm going to piece these things together. This is what I have. This is what I have. This is the stuff that comes together, and then it reveals the heart, the Father, the heart of the Father. And it keeps us all on the same page. So the scripture that is for this this part of the teaching is from Matthew. And I love it. Quinn, you can actually put up that one, the Facebook post I had, or I saw. I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw this, the post of, not that one, yeah. The Bible is the only book that you can never finish. It is alive. You will see new things each time you study it. So Matthew 18, 12 and 13. There are so many parables that Jesus, he speaks about. I think because it, you know, it's easier to tell things in stories. And if you ever read them, each individual, he doesn't go on lengthy. He's not a storyteller. He doesn't have a beginning and introduction. He doesn't write books. He tells a parable. It's very quick. It's two scriptures. And I think that if you've read this at one point in time, it could mean one thing. You go back and you read it again, it means something different. You go back and read it again, it means something different. It means something different. There's such depth to it that where you are, he speaks through it because it's alive. The scripture that it, in regards to the 99 and the 1, is, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I truly tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. And I love that. It's a perfect image of our Father. It's a perfect image of Jesus as a shepherd. It's a perfect image of Jesus as his love for us running after us. I always see that, and Jesus can't be a numbers guy, because if he actually had the 99, that's 99%. That's a pretty good number to keep. He doesn't need to have 100% of that. 99 is pretty good. But that one was very important to him. And the perspective, the perception that started working on me was how we see the 99 and how we see the one, and how there are truths in each one of those perspectives. For the visual learner, my mom has her desk set up, and she has this picture, and I'm going to keep this on here for all visual people. I think that there's some level, we're all visual learners, but she has this image on her desk of this sheep, and it's not, what I love about it is, yeah, it's a sheep, and that's what he talks about in the parable. She wrote me on it, and it's a reminder, that's me, it's one sheep. It's not in the midst of a flock, it's that one sheep, that's me. And her perception of how Jesus sees her was just that one, was that one. And it could mean something different every single time she sees it. It could mean the same thing every time she sees it. But it's a reminder to her, that's who we are. We're that little sheep. We're that one that he left the 99 for, because he wanted some one-on-one time. He was showing me the one and how the different perceptions of the one can be seen. And I feel like this is where God started really drilling home and putting power on a prayer / healing / what he wanted to do with the rest of this teaching, was our view of the 99 and the one, and how we view the 99. We can see the 99 as the church. We can see the 99 as the spiritual ones. We can see the 99 as Christians, the good ones. They have it all together. They stayed in one flock and they made it home. They didn't disappear. We're going to put the 99 aside for a little while, because he's focusing on the one, and we see the one as lost. We see the one as a straggler. We see the one as left behind, left out, and there are some who can even perceive the one as being bad. Maybe he was defiant and he ran away. That's why he was left behind or got lost. It could be him being slow, lost, worthless. These are all words that the enemy uses to say, that's you. You're the one because you're lost. You're the one because you're slow. You're the one because you're not spiritual enough. You're the one because you've done too many wrong things. You're the one because you're too sick. You're too this. And the enemy lies about that and says, okay, this is how he sees you as the one. He sees you as this one, and God has to go after you, and he has to go get you, and he has to bring you back. And Mike said it last week, he's not irritated. He's not frustrated with you. The shepherd didn't go out and, oh, I have to go get that one. I have to go back and get that one, because if I don't, I won't get my checklist, and I won't finish everything I was supposed to do. He went after that one because he wanted that one-on-one time. That one is loved, is special, is qualified. These are truths. These are truths that we need to start speaking over our lives, because that one is not messed up, is not disqualified, is not too weak, too slow, left out. The one could have gone astray, They could be lost. They could be lonely. They could be sad. They could be confused or distracted. I pictured this lamb. I don't know what the lamb or the sheep was thinking while he was lost, but if you've ever been, I'm assuming, where sheep live, it's not in a area, a house where you have your bedrooms or your living rooms and stuff. You have a whole grazing area, and this one sheep is by itself, and it's terrified. It's worried, and I feel so many times that no matter how many family members you have, no matter how many friends, what you involve yourself in, we have that still by ourselves. I still feel lost. I still feel separated. I still feel unqualified. I still feel that, God, you can't use me because I'm stuck in a brush somewhere, or I'm stuck here. I'm lost here. I haven't gotten all together. But he's saying that truth today. He's speaking truth for those who need to hear it, that one is just the one-on-one time he wanted to have. He's called you qualified. He's called you healed. He's called you complete. He's called you found. He shed his blood for that one. So while those two scriptures are wonderful, there's so much richness in them that it speaks to the truth of who God is. And we said it today when we sing about it, we've heard about the truths. What are those truths that God says about us? And I feel like that's something that it's not a lesson you can hear or a teaching you can hear once. That's constantly going. It's constantly moving. No, this is who I say you are. This is who I've called you to be. I haven't called you to be lost. I haven't called you because to be unqualified or to be spiritually less. I've called you all these things already. I've called you. And those are truths. Those are truths. Those are truths. It says in the word, so therefore it's truth. He is not a God that he should lie. That there's no lie in him, that there's no deception in him, that there's truth in him, there's only truth. So I went through, and these are 10. There are more than 10 truths that God says about you. And I love these because it counteracts everything that the enemy wants to tell you. The enemy wants to keep you in that mind frame that you're the one that's lost, you're the one that's not worth it, you're the one that deserves to be separated, you're the one that... Fill in the blank here. And God's coming back with a power, with his power, and he's saying, no, I'm speaking these truths to you. I'm speaking truths that you're justified, that you're redeemed, that you're covered under the blood. He said, we're no longer a slave to sin. We sang it. We sing these truths that he's spoken over us. They're not just good songs or good words. This is biblical truth that he says, I'm accepted. You're qualified. You're equipped. You're redeemed. You're freed. You're a new creature. You're chosen, holy, and blameless. You're a child of God. You have a purpose. Sometimes the lies are easier to believe and easier to listen to because we tend to believe them too. But the more you look in the mirror, you start to speak truths that God says about you. There's healing in that. There's deliverance in that. There's freedom. Greg and I, when we pray, we say we want it whole, healed, delivered, and set free. Those are truths that God speaks about you. He speaks that you are whole. He speaks that you are healed. He speaks that you are delivered, that you are set free. And I feel like those are words that we need to hear, whether it's specifically for when an individual today or for the church at large, that you need to hear that you are freed, that you are healed, you are delivered, you are set free, you are qualified, that you have a purpose, you have a destiny, that he's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. Jesus. I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he speaks those truths. And if you've ever gotten into a habit of something that says it takes 21 days to make or break a habit, these are truths that even the world will utilize. They call them affirmations. They call them whatever you want to call them, declarations. They affirm my bank account has enough to live by. But they speak these things, and there's truth, biblical truth listed in them. And I feel like that's where God's bringing us, that he wants us to speak those truths over our lives. I specifically had, and I don't have a face to go with this, but I saw somebody, and it's gender neutral, but I think it's more female specific, of looking in the mirror, and it's, God, I'm so ugly. I'm so ugly. And he wants to speak to you. He says, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. I've made you beautiful. And it's hard to look in the mirror, and I'll say this as a female, I am beautiful. I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. But that's what he says about you. He says that about you. He says you're beautiful. He says that you're qualified. He says that you're loved. And the more you start to speak those truths, the more those will become louder than what the enemy wants to hear. Every time that the enemy wants to come in and say, no, you're not qualified, you're not good enough, you're too lost, you're too messed up, you failed too many times, that gets chirping, and you start crushing it with the loudness of the truth that says, no, I am, because this is who God says I am. This is who God says I am. And I promise you, it's going to sound like this. I'm beautiful. God, I'm qualified. I think I'm redeemed. I'm freed. And it's going to have a question mark, and it's going to have an inflection that's going to change as you start to speak. No, I am free. I am set free. I am loved. I am qualified. I'm healed. I have a purpose. I have a destiny. I don't have to listen to these little chirps. I don't have to listen to those lies. And I don't matter. It doesn't matter how many years or how long you've heard those lies for. Jesus, that there's a truth, that there's a time and a season that's coming into that we're going to speak truths. We're going to speak truths, and that's going to differentiate us from the world, because I'm not going to sit here and complain about aches and pains. I'm going to tell you about what my Jesus did. I'm not going to tell you about fear and worry. I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. I'm going to show you who my Jesus is, not because of what it says in Jeremiah 5:3. I'm not going to quote scripture at you. I'm going to show you who my Jesus is because I'm walking that, and I'm speaking those truths. And I just speak to this season. I speak to the season of truth, that we would start walking in truths, that truths of who we are, of who you say we are, God, Amen. Who you say we are would come Amen. Through. They would come forward. Would they come up bubbling inside us? You've put that stuff inside of us. You've declared who we are. You've put Christ inside of us. Let that come up. Let that come up in truths. Let it come up in truths of who you say we are, and let them come out of our mouths. Let it come out of our mouths. Let it come out of our walks. Let it come out of how we talk and our actions, Lord God, that we walk as qualified people, that we walk as healed people. We walk as redeemed and set free. Jesus, at this season, that every single person here, that they would start to walk in those truths that you've called them into, that they've called them into truths of who they are, and you would just speak into their lives, Father God. We just speak that, Lord Jesus. We speak that season come upon. Just come upon, Jesus. How Jesus sees the one, hence how we are to see ourselves. So this is how Jesus sees it. And there's a constant prayer. You know what? That's a renewing of our minds, of our eyesight, and of our hearts. God, constantly renew our minds. Renew our minds and let us see ourselves the way you see us. When I was preparing the teaching, I was in the NICU, and it was going to be the next week. And I was like, oh, I have plenty of time, you know. Professionals are taking care of Jordan. I can, you know, pray and put the scriptures together. And again, this, I can do this. And so she came home that week that I was supposed to teach. And I can come home with a brand new baby. I can not sleep and still prepare a teaching. I can still come to church and teach on a Sunday. And I love Greg. He's like, maybe you just change your date so that maybe you have a little bit more time. Maybe you have no idea what you're getting into when we bring home a baby. Why don't we make some time with this? I said, oh, all right. That sounds like a good plan. I said, God, I want to prepare this. I want to, you know, I have this good word. I want to make sure that it's powerful. It's full of you. And he told me, he said, Erica, don't present it. Don't plan it. Don't practice it. Just pray over it. Just pray over it. And prepare a little bit, God, and you can prepare a little bit, but just pray over it, just pray over it. And I love that, because there was no stress, there was no anxiety about, okay, do I put pause for laughter, make sure this is funny, do they like this? There's just different pieces, and I saw it, I would see it when I would come into the teaching. I had to ask God today. I said, all right, God, you're in charge of this. I have my notes. I have things to follow so that there's not going to go all over the place. But you put in charge of it. So he was showing me some things, and he changed a little bit around on the way down here, which, you know, is very not my style, and I didn't appreciate that. But I went with it, and that's God. But I asked him, I said, can I do this one piece? Because I love the simple truth of this. And it's, I don't want to say it's an Erica piece, because I feel like God gave it to me, and God's going to anoint it. So I wanted to play a little video clip. Raise your hand, have you seen the movie The Help? Yes. The Help? Yeah. All right, so you know where I'm going to go with this. For those who not, this is it's a movie, and it's a great movie, but it's this little girl, she's being taken care of by her nanny, and she speaks into her life. She speaks into her life with the simplest of phrases, and I love it because I want it to drive home of who how God sees us.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important. You is kind.
You is
important.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. Because those are simple, but they drive home. You is kind. You is smart. And you is important. You're important. You're kind. You're smart. These are things that you hear about. You're like, no, that's not me. That's not me. No, you is. You is. And I love that. It was funny because I'm not the technology person, so I sent Quinn, is there a way to get this clip on the up screen? Yeah, not a problem. Techies can do all that stuff. And I said, oh, okay, because that would have taken me all month to figure out how to put a clip on the board and then have it actually play the correct way. But that drives home the simple truth of what God's saying about us. And I love that. These points that I put here, again, they were the 10 that God was putting, that drew out of the list. I think I got up to 25 before I said, all right, let me go back and just ask God where he wants me to go with this. I love that they're not just, they don't just sound good. They're not just nice things to say. You know, you're a nice person, your hair looks good today. There's truths, there's deeper truths, and that's where I think that God wants to drive home to each and every one of us, whether what truth it is, what area, what thing that he's speaking to you about, or that he's trying to trump, that he's saying, no, this is what I say about you. And it may be on this list, or he might call you to find other things that he says, but I promise you that the truths he has to say about you, they're in the Bible. They're vindicated. They're validated. They're what he has said. And like that post said, this is not a Bible that you read one time. It's a good book. You put it away. I could probably tell you about the rest of the Bibles. You can't. You can go back into that every single time, and there's something new. There's something alive. And it's amazing to see that even these, going through them, I can see why Pastor stays in Ephesians and I stayed in Romans, because you read what's in there, and it just comes alive in a different way than you might have heard it in the past. He's constantly going after the one. He's constantly going after you. It's an ongoing process that never stops. And then I wrote, once one truth is revealed partially, this isn't the first time you guys have heard you're qualified, you're redeemed, you're healed, but the more he reveals it, he goes to a different layer. He goes to a different area. He's like, oh, I didn't know that that was still there. I didn't know that that part still needed to be healed. I didn't know that part still needed to be delivered, but he's speaking to that. So while he might have told you, you might have heard you're healed, you might have heard you're delivered, you might have heard you're set free, and it hit a certain area, he's going into those different levels of, no, that's still truth. I haven't changed what I say about you, but I'm going to a different layer. I'm going to a different layer of it. I'm going to go deeper with you because I'm not a God who just surface. I don't just want to surface blanket you. I have that individually red ribbon for you, and I know exactly what needs to be in that ribbon. I know exactly how I need to enclose you, how I need to wrap you up in it. And those are truths that you can hold on to, and as you start to step out into them and start to speak them, they get more powerful. They get more alive. They go deeper because they're starting to deal with everything that has happened, has been spoken over us, has been done to us. It's life that's coming back and healing that's coming part of it. And it's about relationship. It's about that one-on-one time. It's about that one-on-one time. He left the 99 because he wanted some one-on-one time with you. He wanted some one-on-one time with you. He called you out for that. He didn't want it to be condemnation. He didn't want to condemn you by going to get you. I had this picture last night when I was going to sleep. I said, how can I really wrap my arms around this teaching as a one-on-one time? And he said, well, I'm assuming that this lamb, this sheep that got lost, he wasn't over there lost, and God had to walk over, Jesus had to pick him up and just kind of bring him into the herd. He was probably lost. So Jesus, in the parable, the shepherd, he left the 99. He went out. He went far out to go get the sheep. And that could mean anything for all the different pieces of us, or all the different parts. But he had to bring him back. And he didn't he didn't kick him home. He didn't drive him home. He didn't yell at him all the way home. And when I take our dog out, Molly, she's a little older, and I don't kick her. But we're like, come on, Molly, let's go. Let's go back inside. And she just looks at you and kind of wanders around. And you get behind her, come on, Molly, let's go. You just shoo her. Greg will pick her up sometimes. You have to like really just drag this dog along. And that's not the picture that he wanted to leave us with. The one-on-one time, he picked us up, he put us over his shoulder, and he held us, and he carried us back. And who knows what he's talking to you about? Who knows what he talked to that lamb about? But that's the one-on-one time he had. He had this lamb, this one-on-one time. We're walking back, and it's all right. You know, you get lost. It's all right. You're a little slow. It's fine. You know, I didn't say you were slow. I didn't call you slow. No, you're fine. He lifted that lamb up. He carried him. He spoke truth into that lamb's life. And that lamb is who we are. We're that one-on-one time with him where he's speaking truths into your life of who he says you are. And that's just what he kept driving home, of that those two scriptures. So you may be able to tell me how many scriptures, verses, are in the Bible. Out of all those, two, he can have an entire teaching, entire revelation about how he brought that one lamb home and how he wants that one-on-one time with you. So I have a song that I want to play, and I'm going to ask people either I ask to minister with me or who feel ministered to minister to those who want prayer for just in general or something specific about a truth in your life that's saying, no, I want to know this is a truth. I want to know, God, that you have, I know what you say about me, but I'm having a hard time believing it, or I'm having a hard time with this walk. I feel like God's really pressing on the ministry portion of, I want to speak truth into my children's lives. I want to speak truth over them. And I'm going to ask them, we're going to play a song. And this is where God flipped me over today. I had a song, I was prepared for it, and I loved it. And then I turned the radio on, I'm driving to church today, and a different song came on. And there was such an anointing on it. I said, God, but I already sent Quinn the clip, and I already did this, and I already did that. He's like, no, I want to play this song. And there was such an anointing on it. So I want to play it. The words are on the screen, but it's not just a song to sound good. It's a song with truth, a song that says, who you say I am, who you say I am. And there's freedom in that. There's freedom in truth. There's freedom in knowing who he says you are. And I just pray, Father God, I pray that truth resound, that it hit home for every person here, for every person hearing this word, that they would hear truth, that they would hear your voice, that they would be delivered, freed, set free, and healed, whole, made whole, Jesus, by the truth that you've set over us. So anyone who does want prayer, who wants ministry, I'm here. Anyone who feels that they want to minister, come up. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to turn my mic off so that I can sing the song, but I'm going to sing the song too because there's such truth in it. There's such truth that you hear who he says you are, and that when you're in your alone time, it's not alone, you're not left by yourself, you just want some one-on-one time with you. So I just thank you, God, for preparing a word that only you can prepare, Father God, that bringing forth truths, bringing it all together, wrapping it all up, Lord God, I pray that you take the time with each of us individually and just to show us, to reflect back on this past week, this past month, this past year, on how good you are, how great you are, how wonderful you are. But God, to reflect on who you say we are too, who you say we are, so that we not only close out this year strong, but we go into this next season that you have knowing truths about who you say we are, and that we walk in those truths, God. We walk in those gifts. We walk in those things that you have prepared for us. We walk in those plans, those destinies. That you said it. You said that you have a destiny. You have a plan. You have a purpose for us. And we just pray, God, that you just reveal yourself more and more. You reveal yourself more and more to us, Lord Jesus, of who you are and who you say we are, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in.
There's a place for me. I'm a child.